How many are ready for the outpouring? Thank you, Jesus. We're going to ask him to shake this place on the basis of his word, not just this morning, but a continuation of truth and grace and the baptism of his spirit. Believing God, not just this morning, but a saturation of his spirit so strong that when they enter the parking lot, the presence of God fills their cars, fills the atmosphere, that the carpet, the chairs radiate with the presence of God. It was a baptism of the Spirit that took place in the second book of Acts. In the third book of Acts, a man was healed, as you well know, many of you that read the scriptures and heard us preach at the Gate Beautiful. As a result, an immediate persecution took place to those that brought forth the administration of that, Peter and John. They were jailed overnight, and then they were brought forth, and they were set in front of the Jewish leaders that began to persecute them. The man that was healed, it was a notable miracle. They couldn't deny it, and everybody had seen it, and as a result, they had to let them go. They threatened them, don't speak anymore, don't teach anymore in this name, and they said, you judge whether we should be obedient to God or to you. Then they went back and they reported. There was a group waiting. The rest of the disciples were waiting and the people were waiting to hear back from them. And as a result of it, they came back and they said, we were persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, this is a paraphrase. This is not verbatim. But when they heard these things, and I'm just going to read this to you, the group rejoiced. They rejoiced that they had been partakers of this persecution. And it says here that they begin to pray, and he says they prayed this, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that which all with all boldness that we may speak the word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders will be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. In other words, Lord, let this testimony of the miraculous continue. Let this revival be confirmed by signs and wonders and your healing power. And it says here in verse 31, now this, get this, this is Peter and John, the disciples, we call them apostles now, and all the people that were born again. Now as a result, I don't know how many was in that particular crowd. The Bible tells us earlier that as a result of this healing, that 5,000 were saved, about 5,000. That does not count the 3,000 that were saved on the day of Pentecost over in the second chapter. But it says that when they prayed that prayer, that God would continue his miracle-working power, when they prayed, it says the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they that were already filled, now get this, they were already filled, already baptized in the Holy Ghost, but they, it says here, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. Listen, there are people that have been filled, but they're not full. We got to stay full. And we got to continue to let the Holy Ghost shake us. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, all of you, and would all of you continue to stand? And let's just pray this prayer. God, shake this place. God, bring a revival that you've already started. Even if I have been filled before, fill me full again. Baptize this place. Baptize believers full of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your angels. Shake this house. And all those that are watching, let their homes be filled with the Holy Ghost. Lord, confirm this walk with signs and wonders and miracles. everywhere we go. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 No notes, no title. Maybe a scripture to turn to and then another. At least he gave me that. It doesn't make it any more spiritual when you don't. I love study. I love studied men that do their homework. I love the Greek, the Hebrew. I love notes. It really helps people. I've got a group of people that receive my notes, and they really love that. And notes are great. But then it's not because you don't have something. It's because you spend hours sitting in the morning, afternoon, and praying in tongues and listening, and you know that what he wants is for you to be very, have a liquidity, have a flow, or just a liquidness, just a flow here or there, whatever. And sometimes that's his mind. And for me to continue to catch his mind and stay in his mind, would you pray for me? Father, we worship you. I glorify you. Kingdom of God come. Will of God be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. All of those here desire that as well, and those watching. Take us to the next level, Holy Spirit. Jesus, Lord of the church. Take us to this baptism of your presence, your glory, and all of who you are. The great notable miracles take place, but then the harvest is brought in. People's lives are changed and answers are made readily available to their hearts and minds. They become free. For he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We glorify you, Jesus. Those of you that were filled with the Spirit last Sunday for the first time, or maybe you just kind of reactivated, my instruction is to you is to practice that. Give yourself a place of prayer, even if it's driving to work or driving to school, that you're praying in the Spirit. Sometimes people say, I didn't get much. I didn't get a whole, I'm not saying a lot of words. Again, I'll remind you that it's not the language that's the essence. It's the baptism. It's the Holy Spirit. As you worship God in your heart and Christ in your heart and just allow that, the essence of it to flow up, more and more words will begin to be articulated to your mind, and you'll say more syllables, and then after a while you'll never even think about it. You'll have thousands of words, and you'll be praying the mysteries of God, and you'll be edifying yourself, and God will be praying for purposes in your life and in the lives of others. So practice that. Just practice it. The other thing is that you'll find out it'll be one of your favorite go-tos in times of when you don't feel God or you don't feel saved. Now, I'm not going to ask you because I don't want anybody to lie, because anybody that wouldn't raise their hand would be lying in my... If I said, how many in this room has ever felt like you weren't saved for just for a moment in time, for a day or so, or for a few hours? It seemed like God's there, but especially when you make mistakes, you feel like I've blown it. And the devil says, yeah, you're not even saved. And then you just begin to say, I don't feel saved maybe, but I know I am. I'm a son or daughter of God. And you just begin to pray those mysteries. We have 10 lessons. on our website. It's discipleship training. They're real basic. But some of those cover the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how important that is for you to be praying. The mysteries. And I'm listening as I'm speaking. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you. We worship you. Hallelujah. Yes. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. For many will go many years past the point of their deliverance. For the moment that you were born again, I set you free from all sin, from everything that would bring forth a stronghold against the truth. I gave you the power to walk free from that moment. But for those who will exercise this gift and continue to pray the mysteries, I'll speed your deliverance, even though you were delivered, even though all things were provided from the beginning, says the Spirit of grace. So take hold of those things that are provided and use them and come forward. Come forward, O great army. Those that are lacking in the army, come forward and go forward together, both young and old, weak and strong. Become one and go forward together, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Now, I know that you came to service and there's a pulpit in the middle of the building at the front, and there's a preacher there, pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles, prophets. They're the fivefold ministry. And God's always, will always, in his economy of church, the church will have certain ones as leading certain things, giving leadership and doctrine and those kinds of things. But the picture of Joel's army is much like I was describing to you last week when I was reading that blog from that lady that wrote all those blogs on Azusa Street. It was real close to that because the Holy Spirit would just take over the service. Now, don't ever think, well, no, we don't ever need leadership, because then you're getting into foolishness. Because any kind of something going on without leadership is anarchy. And you'll always have to have somebody or a group of elders that says, no, that's not right. But for them starting there, Azusa Street was 3.5 years, and the Holy Spirit had a covering over it. It was so strong that they would open it up and people could stand or stand up and say something, but it was so strong that if they started to say something and it was stupid, somebody said, that's kind of rude. It probably is. But some people do that in church. But they'd immediately get convicted and say, oh, this is... And they'd sit right back down. But that's not to take away from the truth of this. Joel's army is not going to be a bunch of people always centered on that guy or that girl or whoever telling you how much time they've spent in prayer, which is great, and how wonderful they are. And I don't try to do that, nor does anybody else here. Or how wonderful their fellowship is with Christ. And that's wonderful if it's encouraging you. Or great things that God has done in their life. And that's wonderful if it's encouraging you. But this army is not us all looking at somebody. This army is an army that will come forth, who will devour the earth with his presence. In other words, you, mama, you, daddy, you, teenager, you, young person, you'll lay hands on the sick. They'll recover. Jesus had to do what he did, and he had, there was Jesus meetings where everybody got healed. But it, then again, it all centered on the man on the mount. That pattern really has continued. It's always been the Catherine Kuhlmans, the Maria Woodworth Edders, the John G. Lakes, the Smith Wigglesworths. And you'll always have great men and women of God standing in the pulpits. But usually it's like, wow, look at them. And the great ones, like Pastor Dave, I say great, in that he would turn it back into the crowd and say, you can do this. You can do this. The great ones will tell you, it's meant for all of us. For us to be like, wow, that's not the end time army. Looking here or looking, if you got, it's good if you got somebody you like, that's okay if they teach. But don't, wow. The wow's supposed to be coming back to you. You're supposed to be the wow in your neighborhood or where you work. Hallelujah. Or your family. Hallelujah. That's the thing I loved about Pastor Dave. He always was telling us, it's to go to you. Hallelujah. We had some powerful services. Thank you, Jesus. But we were always fighting for something, and we're getting close, really, really close. I was in a service where, in the beginning of the Tulsa meetings, there'd be like 500 people. I was in a service where a lady died two sections over. She just died in the service. And there was a nurse by her, and she's deceased. She died. And Pastor Dave went over there and spoke a simple word. And she come back to life. She revived. And we were like, wow. But we were all praying too. But I was also in the service where I was sitting here on the front row, because I don't know why, but they were wonderful enough to want me to sit right just two seats down from Pastor Dave. And I was sitting on this row, and I think Pastor Dave was on the podium already. Jim Martin was right here to my right. Gary Carpenter's back over there. Pastor Tim is somewhere in the building. And a lady that had brought her sick baby, she was terminally ill. I don't know, boy or girl. Terminally ill. And we'd been praying. We knew that, I mean, they had her where she was going to die in the next few days. And while Pastor Dave's, I think that's it, he was ministering, I'm sitting that close. She died right behind me. She died right behind me. Pastor Dave couldn't raise her. There was Jim Martin, Gary. I'm sitting there. 500 people, I don't know, maybe not. We were all praying. I was just going to sit still. I wasn't going to say anything or act anyway. the Christy Smith. You remember Pastor Christy? I love Pastor. I don't know why he thought I could do anything, but he said, y'all get back, y'all get back. Bronk, you get in here. I wouldn't have done it, except he told me, I submitted to him. I couldn't do anything, or I didn't do anything. Years ago, a man that's not among us, he said, he was so impressed. He said, I called so-and-so. Now, this guy was a big name prophet, pretty big. And he said, I request a prayer for him. And he got so excited because he told me this. He said, the guy told me, he said, I'm going to pass this along to the big guns, to the heavy hitters. That impressed him. That doesn't impress me a bit. Because in this army, there are no big guns. We're all big guns. Whoever can move a mountain. The heavy hitters are those that are not named, but can move mountains. And all of us guys were sincere, and all of us, and I'm not incriminating anybody. If I was, I'd be incriminating myself. But let me ask you something. Based on everything that we know up till this point in time, if all of us heavy hitters would have got behind and went into Dave's office and said, well, we didn't look too good today, did we? See, what you normally hear is on the big guys that you, not all of them, I don't want, there's so many wonderful guys out there, really wonderful. They're having miracles. But what you normally hear is about where they went and they got him healed and they raised him from the dead. Now, isn't that something to rejoice over? You hardly ever hear that they're also having a lot, an equal amount sometimes, of those that die. Now, if a bunch of us heavy hitters have gotten the back and said, what are we going to do about this? We really looked bad today, didn't we? What do you think? Well, I'll tell you what. It must have not been God's will. How many of you would stone me if I come up with something like that? I hope. Well, it must have been something to do with the parents. The parents were there for God's sake. They weren't in a bar. They were lifting up their child to say, can somebody help? And just about the time, now, none of us would have, God, we'd have rather went to our grave than done something like this. But if just about the time one of us would have come out and said, we can explain all this. It just was not God's will. God had a plan. We don't know the plan, but he needed a little flower in heaven. I'd pray if I was the one that did that, that God had taken my voice away from me right then to spread such lies. But as you've heard the example of us many times, if Jesus would have walked through the wall while we're all milking, and I'm telling you, we milked when Christie's, I was already praying, and I didn't want to make a spectacle, especially you don't want to make a spectacle of yourself if you're not moving it. And he said, Bronk, you get in here. I said, oh, God, okay, I'll do what you said, Christy. I appreciate that respect from Christy, but I didn't do it. Dave didn't do it. None of us preachers did it. And you had all of the, we didn't call ourselves this, but the body of Christ, many, not you because you're grown now, but the body of Christ looking like, there's the heavy hitters. No. This Joel's army is supposed to be brought forth in these last days where there's not somebody. There might always be somebody at the front, but as far as you're concerned, it's a bunch of us meeting together with our authority. God, if I can just, and I know you're doing your best, but please, when you come in this house on Sunday mornings, I'm not asking you to be arrogant to one another, but if you want to fellowship, get here at 9 and fellowship for 30 minutes. But then after that, start building an atmosphere for miracles to take place. And if you can be here for that half hour early so that, man, that you're already warmed up. You know, you've got your muscles, your spiritual muscles all warmed up. You're already ready. You can go ahead and start benching now. You don't go cold on it. You just already start because you're already warmed up. So if Jesus would have walked through the wall while Bronk is down there, while Christy's behind me, Jim was real quiet sitting over there, Gary was real quiet, but they were praying. Dave was up at the front. I'm sure Tim was giving it all. We were almost sweating blood if we could have got it out, if we could have got that child. And then finally, you know, the EMS comes. But if Jesus would have walked over, he'd have said, he wouldn't have been rude, but it's, Pastor Bronk, can you just sit right there? Christy said. And he may not even have touched the child. He may have just spoke. And immediately. And if we'd have said, you know, we're past, we understand this. But if we'd had not understood it, if we hadn't have got that far in the Word, if we'd have said, can we go back to Dave's office, all of us heavy hitters? And we'd have got back there and said, why couldn't we do it? What would he say, church? You know, because of your what? Because of your unbelief. But we're steadily getting rid of that stuff, right? Every fast, every prayer, not of works, but of our weekly fast and our longer fast and our staying in the Word fasts or staying in there during the time. Getting rid of all excuses. Hallelujah. Do you know how quickly your excuses should fade from you once you begin to engage? If you're in this walk, oh God, I'm going to be real liberal. I mean, I could shorten this and be of truth. But if you're hearing this message, you might not be on this walk, but if you're hearing this message for 2 years, the excuses of not being free, I'm not talking about not being perfect, but I'm talking about not being free and hanging on to things that impede your walk. When we systematically teach by the Word, I'm not turning so much to Word right now, but much of our services are this scripture, this Word. Homer does a great job. This Word, quoting the Word, this one, contextually combining it with another one to understand. But if you go for long periods of time, once the new nature sets you free, but if there's still tag-ons or stuff that hang around, we have no excuse. Can I borrow that? She's got it as a hand warmer. Oh, that's nice and warm too. Ooh, that's nice. This blanket. This is my blanket, my blam, my, oh, it's my hurt too. I got hurt and okay, I want to be nice. I don't want to be sarcastic on this end. I got hurt as a little girl. I got abused. I got done wrong as a little boy. You'll need to unlock your iPhone first. And you'll find out that once you unlock that iPhone, that all excuses go. This is my hurt. I can't let it go. There's pain with it. Yes. But you know what? If it stays around on this walk, you're using it as security. It's security for you to say, I have an excuse for my weakness. I have an excuse for my insecurities. I have an excuse because this is what hurt me as a little boy. This is what hurt me as a little girl. And I have an excuse to be weak. Jesus traded all of your weaknesses. Homer did an excellent job on showing it wasn't just the physical weaknesses that those stripes healed. All excuses go on this walk, and all I can say is if you've been introduced to this walk and you don't do it, it's your own fault. To hang on to these, I hate it. It torments me all the time, but yet you stroke it and love it because it's an excuse for why you can still be the way you are. One of my heroes, Donna Roberson, we've had her here in the pulpit several times. Her mom sold her at five, six, to different boyfriends. You know what solder means, right? I mean, there's nobody in here that doesn't understand that. Solder. Oh, she went crazy in a certain sense. She hated people, hated men, and became a witch. She had a lot of power. Then she got born again. Then she got filled with the Spirit. Then she got totally healed. There's no excuses in her life. You could have been molested 50 times. You say, that's easy for you. No, listen. But once you receive this walk, first, there's power at the new birth to set you free. But then you have an opportunity, if you want to go in by the power of the baptism. And just, because what he'll do is, Holy Spirit, you'll sit there long enough in his presence and pray the mysteries. He'll come like a doctor and he'll cauterize that part. He'll cauterize it. And he'll seal it off. So he cauterizes the emotional part. You might remember it, but there won't be no emotions with it. It'll be just like it was a story told to you by a friend. Like, you know, the things that happen to somebody else, they're not emotional for us. I mean, we may hurt for a friend, but the things that happen to us. But the Holy Spirit, he just cauterizes it. I don't know how he does it. Is this all right? I know it is because he's doing it. Would you lift your hands and we praise you, Jesus? All right, now he just told me in that tongue where to go and what to switch to. So we will have some word. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So Matthew chapter 7. Begin reading in just a moment. Let me get a little... Hallelujah. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, is, to my estimation, I've called it this. It's the constitution of all the sayings of Christ. It's the America has its constitution, and all of our whole government's built on that. All court cases, everything, it all goes back. Everything, all arguments, the Bible for our government. You know, they say they recognize the Bible. That's okay. But the end result is a Christian saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. For the government, it is written is our constitution. That's where we settle everything. All Supreme Court final cases are settled on an interpretation of Constitution, Bill of Rights, and those things. Well, this 5, 6, and 7, the sayings of Christ, these chapters, it's not just it's the sayings there. It's the backbone. Paul tells us where the church is built upon the doctrine or the sayings of the apostles and prophets. And Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. But when he laid out these are his sayings. And all of Paul's writings, all of Peter's and John's and everything, they're all based on his sayings. But this is his sayings in a nut, if you want to condense them in a nutshell. This Sermon on the Mount. I think Gary had 21, I think it's 20, 21 teachings on this Sermon on the Mount. He did a few years ago. If you ever run across anybody, any preacher that you think's hot, really, if they even in the least insinuate that the Sermon on the Mount was not for Christians, don't ever, please, for God's sake, don't ever listen to them again. Because they are extremely messed up. When they take away this, they've taken away the Constitution, the backbone of Christ's sayings. Well, let's look at chapter 7. Got a little bit of time. Unless he starts revival, full-blown revival. We're already in revival. We'll let you out at a good time, normal time. Oh, hallelujah. Let's look at verse 12. So we're going to go from 12 and then we're going to go start back at 1, because 12, from 1 to 12 is really one thought, just one. Therefore, all things. You remember what Pastor Dave used to say? If you see the word therefore, you're supposed to ask yourself, why is it therefore? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Hallelujah. So the context is how we want to be treated. We're going to treat others. We're going to find out that there's a lot more of it than that in here, but that's where that thought, particular thought, ends. We've got to go back to verse 1 in chapter 7 to find what Jesus begins to say here. It's laughable how much of the church and how many times we've already talked about this here. I won't belabor it much, but I think it's just comical. It's really just comical to me. Judge not that you be not judged. Now, if the whole, just about anybody outside of Christendom, they only know maybe one scripture. And even in the church, people don't study the Word of God. But if they have 10 scriptures, they'll have this one will be the one they know. You got to put your hand on your hip and you got to shake your head a little bit like this. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. Well, you got faults. Listen. The world loves to do that, and people in the church like to do that. Well, we're all being perfected. We're all being perfected. We're all going to a place from glory to glory. But for the revivalist, you've gotten past. You should have already gotten past fornication, adultery, lying, stealing, those numerous sins that I call deal breaker or sins that will destroy the new nature. And we could go into that. There's Galatians, Corinthians, and Ephesians, and there's those verses, and they just look like duplicates. The words changed a little. They're almost duplicates. And it says, if you do these things, and the word do is habitual in the Greek. If you habitually do these, even as a Christian, those books were written to Christians. But if you do those things habitually, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, if you were once a tongue-talking Christian, but you say, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to continue to fornicate with my girlfriend. At some point, that light that's in you is going to go out. You can't just do anything you want after you're born again. It's like you can't buy, it's like buying a ticket. I got born again. Now I get to go do anything I want. But Jesus, you're my Lord. And the other thing too is let me go here for just a minute. Repentance is this. Look up the word repentance. Okay, you don't have to be a Greek. Repentance means turning from something. And too much of the church sees repentance as an emotional something that, like, if I've been doing this, sleeping around or looking at pornography, I'm giving some outliers here, some out there kind of things. And Jesus will forgive you for any of those. But much church feels like, they have an attitude like, if you just really get emotional and I'm sorry, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, that gives you a license to go on and pretty much never change. Repentance means you stop it. God doesn't get, he doesn't get pleasure in just you saying, I'm sorry, and crying and weeping with tears. That's one thing. The next step is true repentance says, okay, I'm done with it. Repentance starts with, I'm sorry, but repentance ends with no mas. It's over. To the point that you just won't do it. That's true repentance. Now, I know I could get lost here, but I don't want to get off. Because when Jesus said this, don't judge, what was he talking about? To the world and to the church, much of them use this and they say, don't judge me because we're all with faults. Again, where I was going was this. The revivalist church, or those who come through the purging, remember, I don't know, some of you don't even know when I say Gary, you don't even know who Gary's at, who he is. But we have a friend who's a teacher, and we viewed him a few weeks ago, and he taught for us right at the first message of the year. And he had a vision probably 5 years ago that the church itself was starting to go through a fire. It was a purging process. And I know now that church was, and we were in it a couple of years and or so. And then Gary said, I saw another vision where the church began to come out of that fire on the other side. I'm not saying anybody in here is, but the thought is like, well, we're all have faults. Listen, a fault of unconsciously going 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. If you technically say that's a fault, that you shouldn't have done that. That's not the same as committing adultery. You going 5 miles over the speed limit is not going to send you to hell. But if you keep committing adultery, you'll burn in the lake of fire. Don't tell me, some people have this misconstrued idea. I can prove it to you. Even from the old, some Old Testament sins were like, you get killed for this. Some were like, there's a penalty for that, but no, you don't get killed for it. The Old Testament even taught that there was different types of sin. And the revivalists are not dying as in sin, they're dying as in yielding their life over. So when the revivalists, when we talk about dying, I'm not talking about, I can say before God and the Holy Spirit stand right here, I don't look at junk. This is the only woman that I desire or put my affections on. Nowadays, you can't even watch. You're like, you're watching the football game. You're like, get him. And the next commercial is, God. You're looking, and I'm like, I'm trying to turn that thing off, and there's a devil in it. I can't turn. I've actually turned one station, and then there's that one's as bad as the next one. I'm like, oh God, what's wrong with you in there? Devils! It's like, oh my God. I don't, you know, and you don't get, you know, religious. I mean, Candy and I, we don't go to the beach today. I mean, as cold as it is, we go to the beach. There's girls there that, you know, it's just pitiful. But you learn to, and I'll run 3 or 4 or 5 miles down the beach. But as I'm running nowadays, my eyes are on the sand. Hallelujah. Because we got a new nature. And we're going into revival, and we monitor. See, even when she's not watching, I like me. I love me and my conscience. The pearl, he's the pearl of great price, but the pearl that I give him is that I lay down and I think, I don't have anything to repent of. My conscience is clean. And when stupid thoughts come, because everybody has crazy thoughts, you just go, no, I'm not going to think that. No. Hallelujah. Because we're all human beings and we're all men. Judge not lest ye be judged, for with what measure or for what judgment you judge. Now watch this. You shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in the mote there breaks down to, it's like it's a little sliver. It's really small. It's like a speck. It's like, you know, you get something in your eye and you know it's not going to blind you, but it's small. Why consider the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam? Now, there's a real beam. It's like something that could be, you could think of as like a 2x4. And so Jesus is exaggerating here, because you can't put a beam in your eye, but he's saying it's just that blinding, as if you were to put a post or a beam in your eye, in thine own eye. And he says to that person, to the person who is trying to correct somebody, like, okay, here's my son-in-law, Watson. So Watson's doing okay, and I know he's doing okay. But if I'm looking at Watson, and I'm saying, Watson, you got this fault. It's not like, we're not talking about eyes and all those. It's like you're trying to counsel somebody or correct somebody, and yet you've got the same thing working inside of you, or even worse, or let's say it's even on the same level. But once you begin to cross the line and try to correct, when you've got it, it expands from maybe what was a moat. Now it's a beam, because you have no qualification. What's he doing for revivalist? Let's watch. This that most people use as don't judge, you'll find that the connotation, they say don't judge, you're not allowed to. It's the exact opposite to what Jesus is teaching. He's actually teaching there ought to be a judgment rendered by men and women who are capable of rendering that judgment and helping someone out of their situation. So he says here, he says, thou hypocrite, first, here's the methodology. First, cast out the beam that is in thine own eye. Then thou shalt see, then here comes the ministry. Then you'll so see clearly to cast out the mote out of thine own eye, out of thy brother's eye. And then he says this, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Now this is all one thought. Jesus is not jumping around here. He's saying, don't give that which is holy to dogs. And he's on a subject of, listen, you're trying to correct someone. You don't need to correct them because you got the same thing. Well, I'm just trying to encourage them. You need to be quiet. I find that a lot of people, you know what, when I run into chatty caddies and really people that are really chatty and want to start talking about what everything that God's doing in their life and then speak about what God should be doing, what somebody else should be doing, I'm thinking, you got a boatload of stuff and you're trying to compensate for it. People walking with God usually are real quiet about, and they're not sharing other people's stuff or saying that person needs to do this and that person need to, and that person. I've had so many people correct me, and I'm thinking, and then I go on to find out later, God, you corrected me, and Jesus, it's naughty what you were doing. But the revivalist is someone, he wants people with the qualification to be able to help people. But before you do that, because otherwise it'd be like giving that which was holy. Somebody said, what is he talking about, that which is holy, or casting your pearl before swine? Well, somebody said, well, it's the testimony. Don't give your testimony away. And that's part of it. But the holy thing is this. You as a believer have the capacity. You have the wherewithal to reach into people's life, whether through prayer privately or to bring forth counseling or to pray down bread and ask Father to heal them. And when that is pure in your heart and you're not walking in that same situation, then you can heal, you can bring forth healing through the Holy Spirit. But if you are trying to minister when that stronghold is in your life, it's as if there's no authority there. And it's like taking that which is a pearl, which the pearl would be, you can heal their life if you're walking in His authority, and just casting it into a pig pen, and it has no authority. The revivalists that come to full maturity, and that's where we're, you know, this is a pastoral message, and it's asking all of us to come to full maturity, and it's not condemning it, saying come up. But we're the ones that will be able to go to men and say, look, bro, we're close enough. This is the way you treat your wife. But if I'm treating my wife behind the scenes, I have no pearl to give to this man. If I'm disdaining her or yelling at her or putting her down, I can't go to Watson and say, let me give you some advice of how your marriage should work. And even if I give him some stuff that I've thought of, you know, our ideas are poo-poo. That's a nice word for them. They stink. Life, grace, and life, when it's ministered by a woman or man who's walking in it, and I am not perfect by no means, but I can tell you this, there's one person, you've heard me say this, there's one person that I want their approval or their evaluation. We're still having time with this, Mike. More than anybody else, I appreciate all of you, but I'm not looking for my elders to judge me. I mean, I want to set an example. But that woman right there, my wife, she's the one that is the most qualified of all people on this planet to judge what kind of man I am. You see me under the anointing. You see me dressed up. Are y'all okay? You're probably going to have to get healed. Hallelujah. Your anointing, listen, your character of who you are is at, I hate to say, y'all going to have to beg this one out. Can I say, Pastor, we'll be all right even if you say it. However, now everybody's got a bad day every once in a while, and it's an anomaly of who you are, okay? Because it's just maybe, but your ongoing who you are, day in or day out, if you're apt to yell at her, not respect her, or the way you treat people as a boss, or the way you treat people, the bottom rung of your character, how you act, is really the level of anointing of where you're at. The level of anointing where you walk at is not when you come in here and feel His presence and you get to lay hands on the sick. The body of Christ, this is where He's saying, come on up, revivalists, come on up, revivalists, come on up, cross over a little bit further. Hallelujah. She sees me for the last 47 years when nobody sees me. She sees me on my good days, my bad days, when I get a good report. How do I act when I get a good report? How do I act? I come in here and give you all the yay stuff. How do I act, or how do you act when this is, you know what? However you act when you get the you know what days is your level of anointing. Ooh, Jesus. That's where you're at. Your bottom rung is where you're at as far as where you're walking. And I said, everybody has a bad day, and you just repent. Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me. But where you walk at consistently, how you treat people. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to have to start buying amens. Barbara's smiling, so I'm good. I'm still good. Ask, look at this. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Oh, I can't tell you how many sermons I heard where they just destroy this whole context. They did not teach up to this point about it has everything to do with he wants people in the church to be able to be intercessors. Whether you speak or not, you're going to pray bread down for these people's lives and healings. But here's the prerequisite. First of all, you got to be free. So you're not casting your pearl, but when you are free, you qualify to remove the splinters. You qualify to help them. And so it's the same context. This has nothing to do about asking for a new car. You can't ask for a new car, but this thought doesn't end till verse 13. So it's all one thing. Ask. What am I asking? I'm asking for someone, not for me. Ask and it shall be given you. It comes to you, but it's for someone. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if a son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things? And Luke says the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Therefore, we read that, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This group goes into God far enough. We've come in through the fire and hopefully a big bunch of us. And some of you, some people watching, maybe you're on that, maybe you're a part that's still struggling. Well, I can tell you this. He loves you. If you are struggling, there is deliverance. Come through the fire. And Satan has this mystique of thinking fire and deliverance and purging months and weeks and years. You can get it in a day. You can get it in an hour. You can get it right now. It's the yieldedness of the heart. It's not the time. God has no time clock to say, you're going to have to pay some kind of price. But those that come through this, we've asked and seeking and knocking for revival. And simultaneously, as he's saying, okay, you want revival? You want to lay hands on the sick and see them recover? And you want to be able to come in and all these little ones coming in with all of their, they get born again. Somebody said, well, we get born again. That's it. They have no more faults. I beg to differ with you. Look around all of us. There's a glory to glory. And there's a changing process. And there's stuff that wants to hang around like a parasite even after. But we can go to this guy or this, you women, you can go and say, look, honey, I know I fought with jealousy and malice. And the women don't, some women struggle with lust, but the women not so much as with the men. It's just the way we're put together, I guess. But honey, you can get past this. And here's what's going on. But let me tell you, Jesus, but cause you got the wherewithal. But if that's working inside of you, you can't deliver that. There's one other place, and then we'll close, because there's a corresponding, it's just like this. Any of us preachers, and I'm learning from the best, which is Jesus, but all of us preachers, we preach the same message over and over. We just use it in different ways. to get the truth across. Now, Jesus said these same things in another setting. This is up on a mountain. He's preaching. But let's go to Luke because he's in another place. But he says the same things, but in a little different context. Go to Luke chapter 11. Let's look at verse 1. And the context of this goes through verse 13. So I've got 14 minutes. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass, Luke 11, verse 1, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven as so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer, however you want to say it. He said unto them, verse 5, which of you shall have a friend? We love this. We've taught this many times. Have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Why would you go to this friend? Because you're actually trying to help another friend, which he explains, verse 6. For a friend, this guy is telling this man that he's approached, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Remember, verse 5 says, this is something that came at midnight, and we can use this midnight to say this. It was in the midnight of this man's life that he came to another friend and said, I am at the midnight hour. We've heard that terminology. I'm busted. I'm broke. I'm broke emotionally. I'm broke physically. I'm messed up. I need help. Can you help me? And so he says, I don't have it, but I know who does have it. Here's 3 friends. One friend goes to another and says, can you help me? The other one says, yeah, I'll help you, but I don't have what you need. I've got to go to my friend. So he goes to his friend at midnight. For a friend of mine, he's explaining for, he says, a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot arise or cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, this is what Jesus said, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity or consistency of asking, he will rise and give him as much or as many as he needeth. And we'll find out as this chapter closes is that this saying that the last friend said, I can't get up. I can't give you this. That he will. And some preachers have stopped right there and said, well, that's God. But that's only used as a contrast to God, to show that this last friend in the natural will still, this human being will still give whatever this man's asking for, the bread, these 3 loaves. But then at the end of this, he said, how much more? This is not a comparison. It's a contrast. How much more will your heavenly Father? He's not the man that you got to beg for. He's not the one like, oh, if I can just spend enough hours and keep begging. No, he wants to give it to you right now. But what he wants to give to you is not something just for yourself. Get it for yourself so then you can go. Hallelujah. Get it for yourself so that you can go and live. Now listen, if any of you ever need healing, come up and ask me. And I'll pray for you. But what we're teaching here, we're teaching you self-induced. You know how to do it. I'll have elders say, I'm struggling with this or I'm fighting this in my body. And I don't, Most of the time I don't say, do you want me to pray for you? Why? Because I know they're working it out themselves. And I'm just standing with them. James said, let him, the pronoun him, H-I-M, the person sick, let him call for the elders of the church. In other words, if they couldn't get it themselves, then they should go ask for help. They should be far enough in the word. I hear about a lot of you, and I'll say my prayers for you, but I don't usually, if I hear you're sick or something, I don't go to you. I don't go to your home. I don't even approach you in church. I just know you're fighting it and you'll win. But if you need help, then ask for help. I've needed help many times. But if you need help, then say, hey, will you help me? Add your faith to my faith. I'll add my faith to yours. I'll help you. But we're growing up. We're growing up. But these that are coming to me at midnight, it's a mockery. It's the lost. It's those who are without. And they're coming to me at the midnight hour of their life, and they're not saying it with their mouth, but they're saying it with their lostness. And they're saying, can you help me? And I'm saying, I can't help you of myself, but I've got a friend. His name is Jesus. And I'm going not just now at the moment that you come. I'm going before you get here and all throughout my life every day. And I'm asking and I'm seeking and I'm knocking and I'm praying down this bread from heaven. I'll finish it up. I'm praying down this bread from heaven so that I can give to you. Jesus said here, though he'll not arise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his consistency, he will arise and give him as much as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask. Same thing we just read over in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. And it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Well, the answer is absolutely not. And if he will ask fish, will he give him for the fish a serpent? Absolutely not. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a stone? These are all redundant questions. No. We know our Father. If ye then being evil, in other words, by way of comparison, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And the Holy Spirit is those three loaves. He is those loaves. He is my asking and seeking and knocking. Now here's the catch. Or here's a wonderful comparison between Matthew 7 and Luke 11. We usually think of, and it's right to teach this, that these loaves are for all the needs. We don't often equivocate that this is for all those faults that Jesus starts out in Matthew 7, judge not lest you be judged. We understand there must be a reason why that the person is to abstain from judgment until he knows for sure that he himself is pure enough to the invocation or the giving of judgment means I'm free from judgment. My hands are clean and I'm not perfect, but if my hands are clean, then I can say to you, that fault, I can minister to you and you can be healed, and I'm not condemning you. I'm just telling you, I can extract that splinter out of your eye. Well, we think of that in Matthew 7, but listen, shouldn't the same standard follow over into Luke chapter 11 when we're asking for the bread? And we're saying, Father, give us the bread for these that are coming, healings for their bodies, miracles for their lives, restoration for their marriages, and all these things. Shouldn't the standards of Matthew 7 apply also to Luke 11, that the bread that we're asking for is also the bread that heals them? It's not only the bread that delivers them from faults and failures, but shouldn't the same standard be on us, the church? That when we go in there and labor before him, that we've walked through a fire and we're in a place where we're asking for bread. We're asking for this bread and we don't have any. We don't have any skeletons. See, I know you want this too. But when I look up in my prayer closet, when I look into him and ask him for this revival, I want to look at him pupil to pupil. Pupil to pupil. Blackness of my pupils to his pupils. What are you saying? I want to look up and say, give me this thing without turning away. Because if you look up, unless you cover yourself with a bunch of excuses and say, oh, that don't matter. But to look up into his face, I mean to look right into his face and say, I know I'm not everything I'm going to be. But I'm looking into you. I'm looking into the iris of the pupil of your eye. I'm looking right into the blackness of you. And you get to look at me. And if there's anything, nothing hid. Don't let me be skirting anything or making any excuses for anything. Then the bread that you're asking for has the same standard of Matthew 7 that you're delivering yourself up. That no splinters or no beams dwell inside of you. You say, oh, this is a message of legalism, perfection. No, it's a message to the revivalist. Hallelujah. Well, how do I do that? I have a friend, his name is Jesus. He's the one who takes me by the hand and you by the hand, all of us by the hand in those times of prayer. Would you praying the mysteries? And all you ones that have just been born or just been filled with the Spirit, just keep praying. And all of you that have been praying, keep praying. I don't care if it's 30 minutes a day or 2 hours a day or however long. Keep letting the Holy Spirit work a work inside of you. As I said, nobody's perfect, but we're going to a place we've never been before. Would you stand with me and lift your hands? Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Lead us in something, Harry. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So if you need prayer for anything, physically, spiritually, financially, the Lord told me the other day that in my contemplations, he said, there's people in the church that have suffered greatly financially in these last 4 years. And he said he's going to come and heal. I knew this in my meditation. I knew what he was saying. He's going to come and heal your finances. And you're going to be restored back to where you were and even beyond. He's got a plan. Hallelujah. Thank God he's moving in the natural realm. He's put things in the natural realm. But if anybody needs prayer, just come and stand. Stephen's up here. If you need prayer physically or spiritually or anything, as we close out this service, lead us. Stand with him, Robert. Robert, stand with him. Embrace him. Just keep him steady. Or, yeah. Okay. Malakaresa de Cristi. Just stand up across the front here. Jesus, we worship you. And I need some of my elders, ladies, or all of you, men, the elders. Hallelujah. Come and pray with us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Let's just magnify him. Sing it with us.
Hungry, desperate for your presence. Jesus. I am thirsty, hungry, desperate for your presence. Let there be less of me.
Now, when I come to you, just whisper to me what you're standing for. I know some of you are standing for healing. All of you stretch your faith this way. Jesus, you are the healer. You're the restorer. Some of you are changing some positions in life and doing some things that you'll need the grace of God for. And I'm just going to touch you. And those of you that are online, pray with us. We're close to services like we've never seen before. So stay with us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. Healing in the name of Jesus. I release the power of God. Right now, let the healing power come in. This is the bread of life. And I release the bread. Those who ask for the elders to pray, we pray and we release the power of God. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Stand in your healing in the name of Jesus and receive it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. What are we praying for? Hallelujah, Jesus. Just standing or changing life. That's what I... So right now, God, give him the direction. Give him the direction that he needs to make these changes in his life. He's just coming into the kingdom and the fullness of your might. And we thank you, Jesus, that a change takes place. And the glory of God is manifest in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Candy, pray for her. And come over here. And Barbara, you and... I'm going to pray for her. But you guys pray with me. Hallelujah.
My right hip.
Yeah, so...
Yes.
Amen. In the name of Jesus. So her right hip, so you can touch her. In the name of Jesus, healing power, I command this hip right now, restored, whole in the name of pain to go. And I release the glory of God. Continue to just work. In the name of Jesus, this cold, this flu, I command any... There he is. There he is. Hallelujah. Yes. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yes. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Go. Sickness go. Sickness go. Sickness go. Sickness go. Sickness go. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We release the power of God into his body. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes. Your eyes... In the name of Jesus, can you take your glasses off for a second? In the name of Jesus, I command them, restored unto God, to see a noticeable difference. In the name of Jesus, as he continues to claim the word, speak the word, be healed in the name of Jesus. Release the power of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, brother. Hey, brother, what can I do for you? Yes. In the name of Jesus. Hola, Kalesete. I see a hunger. I do see that hunger. And I just want to verify that there's a hunger inside of you for more of God. And God is honoring that. God is honoring that even now. You're coming forward and that desire for more consistency. And I just agree with you in the name of Jesus. That there will be a walk that is started in this man's life of the word and of the presence of God. Take him to the next level. Fill him, Lord. Visit him at home. Visit him at work. Visit him everywhere he goes. Lord, let dreams and visions and all kinds of things come to his life that he's filled with the presence of God and the baptism of your spirit. And we just, that God, that as he prays the mysteries, that he'll find more and more of a consistency in his life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You're filled with the Spirit. Are you? Were you speaking tongues? Do you speak in tongues? Yeah. Well, I just know the Lord. Just pray the mysteries like you never have before. Spend as much time praying in tongues as you can. You're going someplace, okay? You're going someplace. Hallelujah. Do you need healing or something? Okay, in Jesus' name, be healed. What is it that's wrong with you? Or you have a cough. Well, let's get rid of it in the name of... As in Jesus' name, I command these lungs completely healed. I release the power of God. Breathe upon and in these lungs, Lord Jesus. I call her healed in Jesus' name. Barbara, touch her and just heal her. Just heal, heal. Jesus' name. I know. So, Father, I release the power of God. in the home. In the name of Jesus, touch this righteous man and this righteous woman. Let the life of God flow. Heal, 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 heal. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, give him more grace. Give him more grace. Jesus, show him how to manage this and get past it and know what to do and how to handle things. Let him go out of this parking lot knowing that your wisdom is on him like the wisdom of Solomon, the power of the Holy Spirit to heal and to speak and to work under your authority in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes. Yeah. Well, in Jesus' name, I command that to go. Ears open up. Ears open up in the name of Jesus. Back. Healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Man, me too. You want to lay hands on me or me lay hands on you? Jesus' name. Touch your Barbara and Gay. Hallelujah. Candy, come over. Get a hold of this righteous woman. God, give her. Thank you for her ministry. God, we thank you that Natalie just more and more and more and more and more. Take her to the next level, Lord. We just pray in Jesus' name. Fill her with more of your presence than ever before. Lord, show her how to go there. Let her be opened up. Let dreams and visions come to her life. Lord, let her see and feel your presence like she never has before. God, raise her up into heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Let her know things and understand things in her spirit and be filled with the mysteries of God. Lord Jesus, let your visitation take place in her life. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Name as he stands, Lord, for the health of his wife right now. I know she's a godly woman standing in agreement with this moment in the name of Jesus. I command this thing, this attack against her voice, her throat. Satan, I cut you off in the name of Jesus. And I command this thing against the throat, broke off in the name of Jesus. Healing virtue in Sarah's body and her throat. In the name of Jesus. She will stand on this stage and proclaim the glory of the Lord and sing Yeshua and every other favorite song of ours. In the name of Jesus, we receive the glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Father, we praise you that you lay a course in front of us. And it is a course that, Lord, we know. We know that you want us to know. So all of these things that you're placing on his path, or is it on his path, Lord, show him with an absolute consistency which meetings to receive, which meetings not to receive. Lord, show him, because he has no desire for fanfare, no desire for anything but to glorify Christ and to give your gospel. So in Jesus' name, let him know with a certainty, the compass of the heart, the absolute mind of Christ that confirms all things. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. You're not the author of confusion, but you give to him the absolute. And I stand with him for that absolute. And his wife, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you all for staying with us, and those of you that were here this morning and watching. Sometimes these purging messages seem a little strong, and I understand that. But man, you are so loved of God, and he is with all of us to change us and help us to go to the next level. It doesn't matter where you're at. It does matter, but it doesn't matter. He'll bring you through, okay? And hey, if you leave the parking lot and you know, you fail, you can get right back up. Hallelujah. If you cuss the cat out when you get home, just, Lord, forgive me, and I'm going right back into prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we love you all. You're the greatest of the greatest. And we'll see you Wednesday night, and some of you, we'll see you tonight. God bless you.